Flying the Flag by Alex Shearer, starring Dinsdale Landon as Her Majesty's Ambassador, Mr. Mackenzie, with Peter Aker, Moya Leslie, Stephen Greif, and Christopher Benjamin as Colonel Surikoff. Political Flu.
Morning, Willie.
Morning, Helen.
That's an interesting shade of red.
What's an interesting shade of red?
Colour of your nose, Willie.
Well, I happen to have a cold.
Oh, is that it?
Yes, but if you had to blow your nose 5 times an hour on the People's Republic Lucky Comrade extra soft paper tissues, you'd have a red nose as well. In fact, you'd be lucky to have a face left.
Hang on, then. I'll see if I've got any imports.
I mean, look at it. Back in Britain, that wouldn't be soft paper tissues. It'd be medium-grade sandpaper. I mean, where else in the world do you get paper tissues that crack when you fold them?
Here you are, Willie. Oh. You can keep those.
Oh, thanks, Elliot. Mind you, if the paper tissues are bad, the toilet rolls don't bear thinking about.
It's all your no, thank you.
I don't seem to have figured out yet that when you make paper, you're supposed to pulp the wood. 200 sheets of perforated bark isn't my idea of bathroom luxury. I don't suppose you're making any...
Yes, all right, Willie. What do you want? Tea or coffee?
Coffee, thanks. Is the old man in?
Yes. He's talking to the American ambassador.
Oh, having a meaningful dialogue situation, are they?
Oh, more a meaningless monologue exchange, I think. Want some aspirin?
No, it's all right. I thought I'd try one of the local remedies. I got something from the Lucky Comrades Pharmaceutical Company.
Oh? What do they prescribe for colds?
They give me some powdered earthworm tablets.
Oh, they recommended me some of those for toothache.
Really? Do any good?
I found one dissolved in a bucket of water really brought the kitchen floor up.
Well, as long as one dissolved in a cup of coffee doesn't bring the breakfast up.
The point I'm making here, Max...
Yes, you'll be getting round to it soon, will you, Spider?
The point I'm making is it's not just you and me having these problems, Mac. The infringement and infraction of copyright and intellectual property is one of the real bugbears of the free world today.
Oh, I wholly agree, Spider.
Which is why you and me and Sir Rykoff have got to sit down round a table and talk bugbears. We got to take a high-profile negotiating stance and talk big, tough bugbears. They're ripping us off, Mac. That's the line, top and bottom.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, Mac, look, I've got a lot of complaints here. Some organization back in the States busts its ass.
I'm dreadfully sorry to hear that.
Busts its ass developing a new product or process, and no sooner does it reach the marketplace than it's suddenly, quote, made in Taiwan, unquote. Or Uncle Ivan changes the knobs and says he invented it himself.
Yes, well, I myself have quite a number of complaints from British businesses.
Yeah, well, obviously, as your technology isn't quite as advanced as ours, you haven't got as much worth stealing.
If I might remind you, many American inventions have British scientists behind them. At the time of the brain drain, America was the drain they headed for. For a start, there was the hovercraft.
Well, now, that's what I mean, Mac. The hovercart. Not quite an aeroplane, not quite a boat. Typical British compromise. Look, these commies are not paying a lonesome dime in royalties here. We've got to present a united front.
Well, I shall definitely be speaking to Colonel Surikoff about certain specific issues, Spider. We have reason to think they're using stolen British software to get their commercial banking system off the ground.
Banking system?
Uh-huh.
The commies are starting check accounts?
Uh-huh.
That's like a library with no books handing out tickets.
Yes, it does give one pause for thought. At least, those of us who do pause for thought.
Mm. Well, I'm going to see Sir Rykoff and threaten to report him to the WIPO for flouting the Bern Copyright Convention. And he's not getting any more of my bourbon.
Well, don't let me keep you then, Spider.
Huh? Oh, sorry, Mac. You got some work to do? You couldn't just let me have a glass of water, would you? I gotta take these earthworm tablets.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I got them for my sinuses. Can you translate what that says in the box here, Mac?
Let me see. Yes, it says, while taking earthworm tablets, you should not drive or operate heavy machinery.
Oh, that's okay. I don't have any heavy machinery.
There's your jaw, Spider.
Sorry, Mac?
More coffee, sir.
Oh, please, Helen. Oh, no, arrange an appointment with Colonel Surikoff, would you?
Him to come here, or you to go there, sir?
Well, I would prefer to go there, but as he seems under the impression the British Embassy is the whiskey-a-go-go club, and our primary function is to provide deputy foreign ministers with opportunities to poke their thirsts into other people's bottles, I imagine he will want to come here.
Yes, sir.
But where's William?
At the tourist hotel. He's gone to see the manager to sort out some consular problem. Oh, your copy of the local paper, sir?
Oh, yes. All the news that's fit to suppress... Anything interesting not in it today, Helen?
Well, there's quite a bit not in it about the conflict in the Middle East, sir, and several blank columns on the South American situation.
Oh, I must take a look at that. suppose.
And a few readers' letters praising the government's economic policy, obviously written by the editor, and two letters calling for the editor's resignation, possibly not written by the editor.
Yes, but still no real news. Hard-hitting British-style investigative journalism.
No, sir, nothing about EastEnders or the royal family at all.
Well, let's be grateful for small mercies, Helen.
The only real news is there seems to have been a major medical and scientific breakthrough.
Oh, not that old chestnut about regrowing teeth again?
No, not teeth this time, sir. Hair. Apparently they found a cure for baldness.
Oh, no. Not another one.
Oh, thank you. Oh, dear. Where's the tissues? Hello?
Hey, American. You English?
Hello, yes, English.
You want a brush up?
I beg your pardon?
Brush up. You want a brush up and wash up?
No, I just wanted a bit of tissue, actually.
Here.
Oh, thank you.
You want me to polish your socks?
No, thank you. I think they're shiny enough already.
Shoes. Sit down. Sit down.
No, really.
Man must make a living, huh?
Well, you won't be long, will you?
Nice pair of shoes. I didn't get them here, huh?
No, I didn't.
Thought not. They've got soles. Bless you. On holiday?
No, I'm attached to the British Embassy, actually.
Ah. You recognize me, perhaps? Know who I am?
No.
Konrad Shelkov?
Really? Yes. Who?
Shelkov?
Konrad Shelkov, the Nobel Prize winner?
It's me.
Are you serious?
Of course I'm serious. You think getting Nobel Prize for not knowing who you are?
I thought you were dead, Mr. Shelkov.
Everyone thinks I'm dead. Sometime I think so too. Working in a tourist hotel men's room, I might as well be dead. Rutherford, please.
What are you doing here, Mr. Shelkov?
Shining shoes, cleaning wash basins, handing out towels.
Last I heard, before you died, were you about to make some kind of breakthrough in orthodox medicine?
Well, I made breakthrough into unorthodox politics instead.
Why aren't you in the laboratory?
Because I'm here in the lavatory. Still, a white coat came in useful.
So you mean you lost your job at the Institute?
You think I'm here for work experience?
But Mr. Shelkov, are you working here? This is a terrible waste. A man of your intellectual abilities, I can't possibly have you cleaning my shoes. You missed a bit there, actually.
Oh, sorry. I beg your pardon.
But you shouldn't have to do this. This is humiliating.
Work, young man, is never humiliating as long as you take interest in it. And this is how to survive. Besides, compared to others, I am lucky. I am only in toilet. They went down it.
So, I mean, how long have you been doing this?
5 months.
I mean, what about the new openness policy, Mr. Shelkov? There's supposed to be room now for political dissent. You should have been rehabilitated.
They seem to have forgotten I was ever rehabilitated. There. Your shoes are done. You can even see your face in them.
Yes, so I can.
Still, never mind. I'd like to say no charge.
Of course, yes. Here.
Just leave it in bowl. No, not that bowl.
Oh, sorry. Thank you, Mr. Shelkov.
You are welcome. Perhaps, if you have any influence, know the right ear to put words into.
Oh, yes, of course, yes. Well, I'll do what I can.
Call again. Bring family.
Oh, thank you.
Make a day of it.
There he was, sir, working in the men's room.
William, if you must decorate the office with your germs, would you at least point yourself towards the wall while doing so?
Oh, beg your pardon, sir. I can't seem to shake this cold off. I got some earthworm tablets from the local chemist, but they don't seem to be doing much good.
Yes, well, I don't think dosing yourself up with mumbo from the local jumbo will achieve anything, William. And Mrs. Mackenzie does have a home remedy, actually.
Oh, really, sir?
Oh, it's very effective. Remind me to bring some in for you.
Oh, thank you, sir. You wouldn't
know what's in it, would you say?
No, drop of gin, dash of tonic, slice of lemon, two things like that.
Oh.
I think. But it certainly seems to unblock the lungs and put hair on the proverbial chest.
Which is more than this cure for baldness will do, sir.
Yes, every now and again, governments run out of bread and circuses and feel compelled to start on the conjuring tricks. Spoon bending, cures for baldness.
It's channel tunnels, sir.
Yes, all that sort of business.
Oh, about the copyright infringement, sir.
Oh, yes. Were you able to get anywhere?
Well, I've collated all the files and the telexes, and there's quite a dossier of minor infringements, but possibly the best to concentrate on in terms of a test case is actually the computer one that you mentioned, sir. The UK manufacturer estimates that in lost sales and missing royalties, these infringements have cost them in the region of £2.5 million.
Good heavens, right. Well, thank you, William. Leave it with me, then, and I'll tackle Surikov when he gets here.
I did promise, Mr. Shelkov, sir, that if it was possible to have a word in the appropriate ear...
Well, he'd like to be rehabilitated.
Well, either that or at least promoted to a better washroom, sir.
Well, I certainly remind Colonel Surikov of his existence then. Yes, you know what would impress me a lot more than a cure for baldness, though, William?
A cure for the cobbled cold, sir?
Well, no, a way of rendering whiskey invisible.
Ever think of drinking it, sir?
All the time, William, all the time.
So does it say how it's supposed to work, William?
Well, it says, a major breakthrough by Comrade Vladimir Nesterov of the Scientific Institute, who has been working on the problem of receding hairlines for 16 years.
So what about Comrade Shurikov? What did he do to end up on the wrong side of the wash basin?
Oh, it's that business about growing human organs. Do you remember? The government claimed they'd grown a nose in the laboratory from tissue culture.
Nose?
Yes. So Shelkov went to the press and blew the whole thing. Well, you know, denounced it as a propaganda exercise. Which got him a ticket straight into the Lavatory Attendants Union.
What a waste.
Yeah, same the world over, isn't it? I mean, British governments aren't exactly famous for promoting people who blow the whistle on them.
Well, it doesn't make them go and work in the washroom.
You can make sure they don't work anywhere else.
You think they've really got a cure for baldness, Willie?
No, I think the only cure for baldness is not caring whether you're bald or not.
Oh, that's very philosophical.
Well, it's the only way of looking at it, as far as I can see.
Yes, you're probably right. You're getting a bit thin on top yourself, though, aren't you, Willie?
What? Am I? I'm not, am I? Where?
Well, isn't that a bald spot starting just
Don't
there?
Don't touch it! You'll make it worse! God, lend me a mirror so I can have a look. Oh, dear. I'll never be able to go out again. I'll have to wear a hat.
Colonel Surikov, do come in. How wonderful to see you.
Thank you, Mr. Ambassador. I am sorry to be a little late. I had a meeting at the American Embassy, which took longer than anticipated.
Yes, well, Ambassador Weinberg's purposes in requesting a meeting are probably rather similar to my own.
Oh, yes, where Uncle Sam goes, his bulldog is not far behind.
I can assure you, Colonel, the British bulldog continues to wag its tail on its own account.
Even if it does bark up wrong trees and snarl with borrowed teeth. And from what I hear of your National Health Service, it will have to wait a long time for its own dentures.
Well, the point of this meeting, Colonel...
Yes, I had a long talk with Ambassador Weinberg, during the course of which he was gracious enough to offer me a small bourbon or two. Yes, American hospitality is as generous as ever.
Well, we don't actually have any bourbon, I'm afraid.
A whiskey would suffice.
Well, I might have some somewhere.
Oh. So, what is the problem, Mr. Ambassador?
Well, as you've already spoken to Ambassador Weinberg, Colonel, you all know it's that perennial matter of copyrights, royalties, and the protection of intellectual property.
Then I can only echo what I said when I told him quite emphatically that it will have to stop.
I beg your pardon, Colonel.
It will have to stop, Mr. Ambassador, these slanderous libels, alleging that the People's Republic has stolen technology for which it was itself responsible.
With respect, Colonel, I have irrefutable evidence here in this dossier enumerating a whole list of breaches of the Berne Convention, the most glaring, not to say blatant, act of intellectual piracy being this.
What is this? This is a picture of the People's Republic Beetroot computer system.
No, Colonel. It is an entirely British-funded and British-developed piece of computer hardware, which your factories have copied, and upon which you are running a whole alphabet of pirated software, including your national banking system, and for the taking of which liberties you have not paid one penny piece in royalties or compensation.
But this is the story of science, Mr. Ambassador. Two or three people hit upon a similar idea at the same time. Each naturally suspects the other.
You say we have stolen your thunder. We say you have run off with our lighting. Ambassador Weinberg alleges someone else is wearing his rainbows. But I say when pennies fall from heaven, it is everybody's money.
Well, I accept, Colonel, that people may have similar ideas at the same time. It is highly unlikely that they would be identical in every respect, save the trademark.
Mr. Ambassador, this denigration of Eastern Bloc achievements goes too far. Everything we invent, you claim for yourselves. But we have our own consumer goods, not inferior to those in the West. Our own industrial goods, not inferior to those in the West. Our own...
Inferiority complexes?
Not inferior to those in the West. Look at our products. Snapped up when they reach the shops. Look at yours. You have to advertise them to get rid of them.
Well, no one needs to advertise water in a drought, Colonel.
It is shameful that you set about rewriting history like this. Bringing up your children on a catalogue of half-truths, deceptions, and downright statistics.
Colonel, if history is being rewritten, it is not by us.
Here in the East, we make history, we do not rewrite it. But censorship in Western society is only too well documented. You have only to think of the British Inquisition and the Great Purges of 1965.
1965?
Yes. Followed by the infamous proletarian bread riots and the North Acton Peasants' Revolt in 1972. Yet these facts have been completely suppressed in Britain. I have yet to meet an Englishman who knows anything about them.
Now there is a surprise, Colonel.
And what about Winston Churchill?
But what about Winston Churchill, Colonel?
Has he been rehabilitated yet?
I beg your pardon.
No. I am afraid, Mr. Ambassador, that the liberal West has interpreted the events of history to give a view convenient to its purposes, and now, to add distortion to inaccuracy, you try to usurp many of our great achievements.
Well, I can only say that if the bulk of your eminent scientists didn't spend most of their working lives sewing mail bags and cleaning laboratories, you might have a sufficiently advanced technology not to need to plagiarize ours. You can't impose politics on science.
Really, Mr. Ambassador? Tell me, does the sun still revolve around the earth in the West? Or has the Catholic Church finally conceded that maybe Galileo was right?
That, Colonel, is history.
Isn't everything, sooner or later? No, by applying the Marxist dialectic to science and technology, we triumph where capitalist science abysmally fails. You only have to look at our new cure for baldness.
I reserve judgment on that until I can get a comb through it, Colonel.
However, there is one magnificent invention for which the world is indebted to the West, and for which I am prepared to give full credit and all my appreciation.
Oh, and what is that, Colonel?
There's some in the bottle, Mr. Ambassador.
I tell you, Mac, the way that Sir Rykoff wriggles about, if the guy was toothpaste, he wouldn't even stay on the brush.
So I take it you didn't get anywhere with him either, Spider?
Nowhere. And we took a long time arriving. He handed me all this interpretation of history belonging.
Yes, I got that from him, too.
We're going to have to initiate some kind of concerted action. These commies are ripping us off. Just take a hike up the high street. You seen what they got up there lately?
Yes, long queues.
Yeah, and what else? Joints selling Comrade Cola. Fast food outlets with Colonel Olaf's Ukrainian fried chicken. Mitten looking good, I ask you. They got burger bars selling big Pushkins, Mac. Big Pushkins! And where are these ideas coming from?
The land of the brave and free, I'm sure, Spider.
The U.S. of A., old buddy, you bet your ass.
But whatever I may be, Spider, I am not your or anyone else's old buddy, and I have no intention of using any part of my anatomy as stake money on reckless wages.
No, I'm telling you, Mac, I'm talking burgers, cola, the great things America's given the world, the great civilizing influences in society today, and the commies are just ripping us off. Making out the wrong things, the real thing, and not paying a nickel or a dime. We got a unification lies on this whole issue. Initiate serious stitch-saving measures and implement a full bud-nipping policy before we end up in a non-visibility situation woods-related by being over-attentive tree-wise.
Oh, absolutely.
Because the way things are, we're getting screwed.
The fact remains, Spider, that the enforcement of patents and copyrights is an infernally complex and expensive business. All we can do is to continue to bring pressure to bear in the hope that Surikov will eventually acquiesce to making royalty payments.
I just said that, Mac. I just said that.
Oh, did you? Oh, I do beg your pardon.
Well, can't we do something, though, sir?
Well, I don't think so, William, apart from sit and wait. I can hardly take out an attachment of earnings order on the entire nation's wage packet.
Well, couldn't we organise some kind of trade boycott or implement sanctions until they cough up some royalties?
We'd never get the cooperation, William. British exporters getting a good deal from the East aren't going to stop trading for the benefit of a competitor getting a bad one.
Dear, self-interest rears its ugly head again, eh, sir?
I think the beauty or otherwise of self-interest, William, generally lies in the wallet of the beholder. Bless you, William. Oh, I asked Mrs. Mackenzie to make up some of her remedy for you. I'll bring it in the morning.
Oh, thank you, sir. How lovely. I was afraid you might have forgotten. Oh, look, it's a topper.
It is not.
It is.
How do you know?
Well, look at the picture. He can see his own bit of hair sticking out at the back and the wig sitting on top of it. I mean, look, they even sprinkle some kind of artificial dandruff on his collar to make it look authentic.
Artificial dandruff? I think your cold's moved off your chest and settled in your head, Willie. What's the caption?
First to take advantage of the latest advances in hair technology is our illustrious leader, now restored to full vigour and a new youthfulness.
Oh, yes. He hardly looks a day over 98.
Yeah, on the inside page, they've even got photographs of all the bald heads of government in the West by way of a little light contrast.
Well, maybe he's just wearing the wig while the treatment takes effect.
Yeah, maybe earthworm tablets are good for you.
Don't you feel any different?
Well, apart from having this urge to burrow through the garden and come out when it rains, I feel about as lousy as ever.
Morning, Helen. Morning, William.
Morning, sir.
Have you seen the local paper?
Mind the local. Have you seen the international press?
No, not yet, sir. No.
Well, come into the office in a moment, then, and there's something we'd better discuss.
Oh, right, sir.
Oh, and here's the bottle of Mrs. Mackenzie's medicine that I promised you, William.
Oh, thank you, sir. Gosh, what an interesting shade of pod green.
Well, give it a try, William. You've got to set you up, and don't come into my office.
What are you going to do with it?
What would you do with it?
I think if I had a bottle of something that looked like that, I'd have it buried in a lead-lined vault under 6 feet of concrete.
Oh, God, the gin smells like the least toxic ingredient. Oh, well, here goes.
Are you all right, William? You nearly walked into the desk.
Oh, fine, sir, fine. Which page was it, sir?
That's it, there.
Oh, right. British Building Society's new checkbook scheme ran into severe problems today when computer software erased all account balances and the hardware corrupted the backup tapes. God, it serialised all the accounts, sir.
Yes, William.
Angry scenes and scuffles broke out as account holders besieged the Society's offices demanding to know what had happened to their money. Dear, oh dear, who needs inflation to wipe out your savings in a stroke so when you've got a computer to do it for you, eh?
Yes, well, I'm glad you find it a jovial matter, William.
Well, you have to laugh, really, sir. It'll take them a while to clear that mess up.
I happen to have a large proportion of my savings lodged with that particular building society, William.
Oh, well, I'm sure they'll soon have it sorted out, sir.
However, my personal financial woes aside, diplomatically, this is just what we need.
Oh, yes, of course, of course. How's that again, sir?
But look at the name of the computer system, William.
Oh, yes, sir. Fancy that. Well, well, there's a turn up, eh, sir? Flipping it, eh?
William, are you sure you're all right?
I think I've been a bit queasy, actually, sir.
Yes, you look quite green. Well, perhaps you'd better go home. Rub some more of Mrs. Mackenzie's medicine on your chest.
Oh, rub it on your chest?
Mr. Ambassador.
Ah, Colonel Surikov. Always a pleasure to see you.
Always a pleasure to be seen.
You wanted to see me?
Yes, I did.
About a computer matter, perhaps?
Indeed it is, Mr. Ambassador. You must be telepathetic.
Oh, I just heard of a computer crash in London, Colonel, and had an inkling the reverberations might have reached your seismograph by now.
There was a certain twitching of the needle, yes. Well, let me put you in the photograph, Mr. Ambassador.
From my experience of your methods, Colonel, you're more adept at taking people out of the photograph.
Oh, so droll. Now, as you know, we are in the process of computerizing our banking system. A new era is being ushered in, just like your stock exchange. We, too, are having a big bunk. However, we have hit a snag.
Yes, I thought you might. A slight technical hitch, perhaps?
Slight, very slight. A little hiccup in the system.
Everyone's account has been zeroized, maybe, Colonel?
Possibly.
Investors a little concerned at the disappearance of their savings.
Maybe.
Large queues forming outside the banks, ugly scenes, threats of violence.
Perhaps.
Which is why you are here.
Could be.
Well, this is the trouble with borrowed plumage, isn't it, Colonel? You can't ask for your money back when your feathers start falling out.
Absolutely, Mr. Ambassador. My very sentiments. And I see from your newspapers that the same computer failure has happened in the UK on machines and software suspiciously similar to our own. But not to worry. We are not vindictive. We will let you off this time.
That's amazingly fair of you, Colonel.
I propose we put together our heads and allow our computer scientists to cooperate in an international forum on solving this problem affecting us both. What do you say?
Pay the royalties, Colonel, and we'll bail you out.
A lot of royalties for something that doesn't work.
50% now, Colonel, the rest when the system's going.
Your government will take a check?
Not if it's one they can play tennis with, Colonel.
Very well. We understand each other. And so, a whiskey to celebrate, Mr. Ambassador, this new chapter of diplomacy. I think I see something tucked away in the bookshelf up there. Looking remarkably bottle-shaped.
Oh, yes, apperceptive, Colonel.
Oh, I've always had an eye for a good read.
Morning, Willie. How's the cold today?
Oh, I don't know if it's any better, but at least I'm making friends with the germs.
Yes, you don't look quite so bad. How'd you get on with Mrs. Mackenzie's patent remedy?
Well, I do feel a lot better since I poured it down the sink. Oh, morning, sir.
Morning, William. Helen.
Morning, sir.
A few items in the news might be of interest you. Yeah. How's the cold, William?
Oh, you look a good deal better.
Mrs. Mackenzie's remedy did the trick, did it?
Oh, yes, sir. It certainly bucked me up.
Oh, good. Well, here you are. I bought you another bottle.
Oh, thank you, sir. Very kind.
And now this morning, Ambassador Weinberg at 10:30, Helen.
Yes, sir.
Interruption at 10:35. That doesn't get rid of him. Urgent phone call at 10:40.
Right, sir.
And if he still doesn't go, then fire drill at 11. Oh, and a coffee straight away would be appreciated.
Right, sir.
Do thank Mrs. Mackenzie for the remedy again, sir.
Oh, thank you, William. I will.
Creep.
Well, what else could I say?
What else could I say is what they all say. Oh, look.
What?
A paper. At a banquet for international heads of state, our glorious leader's newly grown wonder hair. Oh, dear. It fell off and landed in his soup.
Let's see. Oh, great. This won't be in the local press, though, will it?
Well, there's openness and there's openness.
Well, I must take this and show Shelkoff.
Who?
Him, no, our man in the men's room. The comrade in the cubicle. This ought to cheer him up a bit. It's pathetic, though, isn't it? I mean, everyone knows something's a pack of lies, but just because someone's dressed up in a little, what's it called?
A brief authority window.
They all get afraid for their jobs and their pensions, and no one will stand up and tell the truth.
Like the way you stood up and told the truth about Mrs. Mackenzie's lousy medicine, Willie? Well, and about how you poured it down the sink? Yes, I really admire you for that.
Yeah, well, that's different.
Yes, Willie, I know. It's always different, isn't it? That's what's the same the world over.
Mr. Shelkoff? Oh.
Oh, hello. You want a towel?
I was looking for Comrade Shelkoff. Isn't he working here anymore?
No, not here.
Oh.
But tell me, friend, is your nose always that colour? Or did someone punch you on it?
No, I've got a bit of a cold, actually. You wouldn't have to know where he is.
I understand he has returned to scientific life.
Oh, so he's been rehabilitated. Oh, good. Well, I am glad.
I have his job. He has mine.
I'm sorry? You're also from the Scientific Institute?
I am Professor Vladimir Nesterov.
Oh, how do you do? Oh yes, weren't you working on
regrowth of her tissue by electrical pulsation method. I said the days were too early, but they want triumph to impress the world. Things go wrong, here I am.
Oh dear, caught a cold, eh, Professor?
It's called political flu, young man. Bless you. Today we have the cold, tomorrow someone else. But germs are always with us.
Well, I hope you recover soon.
Hey, you too. Hey, want the shoeshine?
No thanks, not today.
Excuse me then, I must get on and polish my handle.
Yes, I must go and take my medicine.
In Political Flu, you heard Dinsdale Landon as Mr. Mackenzie, Peter Aker as William, Moya Leslie as Helen, Paul Gregory as Shelkoff, and Peter Craze as Nesterov, with Stephen Greif as the United States Ambassador and Christopher Benjamin as Colonel Surikoff. Flying the Flag is written by Alex Shearer and produced by Pete Atkin.